Well, please keep that passage open and let's pray and ask for God's help as we briefly look at this passage together tonight. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank you so much for your kindness, your grace, your mercy, the way that you speak to us and help us to follow you. Lord, as you expose once again our double-mindedness, would we seek your grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are the Zoom generation. That's what we are now. And if you've used Zoom at all, you've probably found yourself looking at your face more than ever before. And let's be honest, it's not always a comfortable thing, is it, to look at your face so closely? If you're at my age, you see more lines, more grey hair sprouting from all sorts of places. And we were listening to the radio on the way home from holiday last week. There was a whole item about the impact that Zoom is having and how it's causing many people to spend more money on face products and cosmetic procedures to make themselves look better on camera. Maybe that's why my kids bought me this very manly cream, Bulldog, during lockdown on Father's Day. Thank you so much for that subtle hint. But actually, Zoom is very confronting, isn't it? It's very confronting as we have to look at ourselves. And that's one of the effects of God's Word, isn't it? The Bible. The Bible is very confronting. It's like a zoom into our hearts and into our lives. It's like a mirror that exposes where we really are, what we are like. It shows us our constant need of repentance and faith and trust in our wonderful friend and Lord and Savior, Jesus. And this book of James has been very confronting, hasn't it? As it's exposed what we're like, what we're prone to as followers of Jesus. And we are all prone to double-mindedness. Like the Christians that James writes to back then, so it is now. That's the tension we live and feel. We are followers of Christians if we're Christians tonight, but so often we don't look like it. We want to live for Jesus, but so often we can live like everybody else. And that battle, that tension exists. James calls it double-mindedness. It's that word at the end of verse 8. You double-minded. And in verse 4, James brings the same accusation, but in technicolor he says, you adulterous people. Now that is strong, isn't it? Adulterous. That word here pictures our relationship with God through Christ like a marriage. And quite frankly, we are unfaithful. We are unfaithful to God in the way that we choose to live and speak and think. And we've heard loads of examples of that already in the book of James. And our reading exposes more. If you look at verses 1 to 4, it sounds like more like an episode of EastEnders than the local church gathering. It's like an evening at the Queen Vic and not the church family. Verse 1, fights and quarrels with words. Backstabbing that kills, verse 2. So you kill. It kills reputation. Coveting, godless, self-centered prayer that says, my will be done and not your will be done. When you ask, verse 3, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. My will be done, not your will be done. God's not in the business of answering that sort of prayer. And then again, at the end, in verses 11 and 12, we see that God's people are judging and slandering each other and forgetting that God is the judge, verse 12, not them. And James is holding up a mirror, and he's saying, just look at yourself. Look at yourselves. It's not pretty. You're acting like friends of the world, not as God's friends. And it's very confronting, isn't it? We see ourselves in there, don't we, at times. But what to do? How to respond? How do we change? And that's what these verses help us and show us how to respond tonight. When we're confronted by our sin as believers and we see how double-minded we are, verse 6 to 10 is full of instructions which are so, so helpful and practical. Four things to take away and pray about tonight from this passage. They're going to come thick and fast, so brace yourselves as we seek to battle double-mindedness. And the first we've got to do is there in verse 6. We have to rely on God's grace. James is a challenging book. It's a call to action. And we think, well, what do I do about my double-mindedness? What do I do about my tongue, about my attitude, about the way I behave? Well, whenever James exposes a problem, he always gives a solution in each chapter. So chapter one, it's the word that's implanted in us. In chapter two, it's the law that gives freedom. In chapter three, as you saw with Tim last week, it's the wisdom that comes from above. In chapter four, we have this central phrase in the book, verse six, he gives us more grace. God gives us grace to respond and obey and live for him. You see, how am I going to resist the devil? It's a battle, isn't it? How am I going to fight the pull of this world and its temptations? How do I live by God's word and his wisdom and not this world's wisdom? How do I do it? Well, it's why what God gives to us so willingly. He gives us more grace. Despite our double-mindedness, despite our unfaithful, adulterous hearts, God's grace is still available to those who come in humility and repentance. As verse 6 says, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace. He shows favor to the humble. That means he graciously loves to help us. And of course, God's grace is where the Christian life begins, isn't it? Humbly recognizing our sin and our need of a Savior and repenting of our sins and trusting in Jesus, God gives amazing grace, undeserved love. That's how it begins, and that's how it continues. The Christian life is a life of banishing pride and humbly trusting God and saying, Lord, I need your grace and help right now to help me live for you. You see, ultimately, the proud will not recognize their sin and the need of Jesus. And they'll be judged eternally, which is terrifying. Now, it's the humble who recognize their need of Jesus, which is the work of the Spirit of God, and they'll be shown favor and mercy and grace. And that sustains us in the Christian life. You see, God jealously, verse 5, longs for our devotion and our godliness. And as he exposes our sin through the power of his word, so he gives us grace and help to change. He gives us more grace to help us change and be transformed. So what do? We pray, Lord, I've got a real problem with my tongue. Lord, I've got a quick temper. I react badly. Lord, I'm so judgmental and critical in my heart. I'm sorry. Give me your grace to change. Give me grace to love this person I find impossible. Give me your grace. Give me your unfailing love and mercy and power to change for your glory. We all need to pray every day, every hour, more grace needed, more like Jesus. Fill me with your grace. Help me as I live as a child, your friend. So as we face the double-mindedness and we want to change, we need to rely on God's grace. It's always a lavish storehouse of grace, my friends. It is a resource available to his people. What a blessing. Well, secondly, we are called to submit to God. Rely on God's grace, submit to God, verse 7. You see, as you seek God's grace and help to change you and live for him, so we're called once again to say, he is Lord. What he says is true. Of course, we find all of that in the inerrant word of God. God has revealed his will so clearly in the Bible. He has made his way for life, his truth, his character. He's revealed his salvation. All that we need to know about the Lord is here. And we're called to submit to his rule, to read his word and to obey his words. The Christian life is all about obeying him in every area of life. And these verses tackle the danger of our tongues and our haughty judgmentalism. But the Bible has much to say about every other part of life. Relationships, family life, your job, your money, singleness, compassion, care, time, your plans, mission, work. I could go on. Submit to God. Submit to his way. That is the way to battle double-mindedness. The confession of the Christian is this, isn't it? That Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And he knows what is best. And he calls the shots. And he rules me with love and grace through his word. And we struggle, don't we, with that at times. We resist. Sometimes we submit and we grow. Whatever the Lord has put his finger on tonight, will we resist or humbly submit? That is the path to growth, my friends, to become more like Jesus, to be more single-minded as we submit to Jesus' loving and gracious rule. And that's how we thirdly will resist the devil, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us, verse 7. Let's be in no doubt that the devil is real. He is the enemy of Jesus. He is the enemy of God's people. He's the enemy of the church. He loves to whisper in our ears, don't trust God's word. He loves us to believe that he is in charge, that his ways are best and most compassionate, that he can give us all that we want. And he loves double-mindedness. He loves and encourages unfaithfulness in our hearts to God. How do we resist? By recognizing we're in a battle. And we're realizing his tactics to deceive and whisper untruth in our ear and to guard our hearts and minds with God's word so that we resist the devil and we rely on God's word and we say, that's not true. I believe what this says. I'm following Jesus. And that's why we need to read our Bibles every day, isn't it? We need that armor and protection of God's word and truth. We now need to allow his words to shape our thinking and living, not the lies and deceit of Satan. Don't be double-minded. Wake up to the battle. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Declare that you belong to Jesus and he is your Lord and you want nothing to do with him. And depend on the Lord in this battle. As we do that, we're called fourthly to come near to God in verses 8 to 10. Beautiful words, I love them. Come near to God. And he will come near to you. I found this kneeler in the church. We used to kneel once upon a time when we prayed many years ago. Perhaps you do that at home, which is great. And they've written on this little kneeler, they stitched it in, it says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. That is great advice for the Christian life, isn't it? Come close to God, and he will come close to you. And in this context, it's not so much a call to worship, but to repentance, a comeback to God, like the prodigal son who left his father. He became a friend of the world and he saw his emptiness and he returned home. And of course, as he came back to his father, his dad was there ready to welcome him. You know the story. It's a wonderful story. His father saw him and was filled with love and compassion and he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Come near to God and he will come near to you. His mercy is more than all of our sins. He welcomes us back. He forgives. He restores. What a beautiful, wonderful encouragement this evening, friends. If you've drifted from the Lord, or your heart is getting cold, or you're so double-minded, the Lord says to us through James, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And look at this lovely description in verse 8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wash your hands, that's about external behavior that needs to change. Purify your hearts, that's about internal attitudes that need to change. Purify your hearts, be single-minded in living for Jesus faithfully. Give up your spiritual adultery and live for the Lord. That's the call of this passage. Take your sin seriously. And show the Lord you mean it. Verse 9, grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What an encouragement. You might feel real failures tonight. Humble yourself, say sorry, come to the Lord. He'll come near to you and he'll lift you up. That's what he does. He's full of grace and mercy. His grace is enough. Friends, as the zoom of God's word exposes our hearts, the Lord graciously calls us all back to him, to become more like him, and to delight in his generous grace and love and constant welcome, all made possible through the cross of our Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, help us to battle double-mindedness, to rely on your grace, to submit to God, to resist the devil and come near to you. Thank you for your wonderful invitation. Help us to humbly trust you and live single-minded lives for your glory, that we might not wander from the truth, may not be turned from the error of our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.